And then their immune response to the vaccine and to the tumor was monitored. And the research team there found that 8 of the 16 made a T-cell response to the vaccine. So they had a response to the vaccine. The other 8 did not.
Virological with Florian Kramer.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Virological. This was recorded on June 29th of 2026 in Vienna. Today we are going to talk about vaccines, but actually not about vaccines against infectious diseases. We're going to talk about anti-cancer vaccines. And that's an interesting new development. And there were a few publications that came out in the last months and also in the last few years. And anti-cancer vaccines have been in the media quite a bit. And I wanted to shed a little bit of light on the concept and then also discuss two different vaccines that have reported results relatively recently. So for many types of cancers, there are now good treatments. It's often a combination of surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and nowadays also a lot of immunotherapy. This could be antibodies that basically activate the immune response, activate T cells. This can be CAR T cells. This could even be treatment with viruses that infect tumor cells and destroy them. So all of these options are available right now for different types of cancers, and that has improved treatment and outcome tremendously. But there are still some cancers that are hard to treat. One of them is pancreatic cancer. Another one that is really hard to treat and is very often, unfortunately, fatal is glioblastoma. That's a type of brain tumor. Even melanoma, although it got much easier to treat now, is still a very problematic disease. And so I wanted to talk about these anti-cancer or anti-tumor vaccines that are in development. These are therapeutic vaccines. So they are given once somebody already has cancer. And I'll get back to the concept in a minute. But we have to differentiate that from prophylactic vaccines that also prevent cancer. And there's actually two of them that are routinely used. One of them against the human papillomavirus, which can cause cancer in humans. The other one against the hepatitis B virus, which can cause liver cancer in humans. And so these vaccines are prophylactic cancer vaccines, while the ones that we're discussing today are therapeutic cancer vaccines. So as I said, I'm going to talk a little bit about the principle, and then I'm going to talk about two examples. So what typically happens here is that there's a surgery to remove the tumor. Could also be in some cases that just a biopsy is taken, but tumor material is used to basically develop the vaccine. And it's going to be, in all cases, vaccines that are specific for that person. So it's personalized medicine. That's how you call this. So basically, material from the tumor is used and sequenced. And typically, regular tissue, healthy tissue is sequenced as well. And then these sequences are analyzed. So what often happens when a tumor forms, there might be mutations that might be the causative reason for the tumor formation. There might be also additional mutations that occur in the tumor because tumor cells often mutate more frequently than regular cells, and they grow more, so they can mutate more. So you might have mutated genes in the tumor, which means that there is proteins that are tumor-specific or tumor-associated. And in a way, they are foreign to the rest of the body because in the rest of the body, they don't exist. We call them neoantigens because they formed de novo. They haven't been there before. And that's what you're looking for when you're making an anti-cancer vaccine, a therapeutic anti-cancer vaccine. You want to figure out which protein sequences in that tumor are different from healthy tissue, and those can be attacked by the immune system because it's foreign. It's not part of our natural body, right? Now, in some cases, the body does that by itself. The immune system does that by itself. There might be a tumor cell that forms and the immune system recognizes it as foreign, attacks it and removes it. And there's never any cancer because the single tumor cell or a cluster of tumor cells is already removed before there are any signs of person being sick. That's the best case scenario. And that probably happens in many people quite often. But in contrast to that, it can also be that the tumor forms and the immune system doesn't recognize these new antigens sufficiently to suppress it. And when I'm saying the immune system, very often these are T-cell responses. So T-cells are immune cells that can attack either infected cells or cells that have become malignant and remove them. And so when cancer forms, often the T-cells, the immune system is not strong enough, not targeted enough to actually remove the tumor. So now for an anti-tumor or anti-cancer vaccine, these sequences, these mutated sequences are identified. And then they're basically, usually the sections that mutated are taken, not the whole protein, but just the mutated fragment. And they're stitched together often in a row in an open reading frame. That's a protein encoding RNA in this case. The RNA is synthesized and the RNA is formulated. And this is done very similar to the mRNA vaccines that we have seen for COVID or also for other diseases. And then if you immunize with that, the hope is that this vaccine induces now a very strong immune response, specifically a T-cell response that targets the tumor because only the tumor has these mutated proteins, these peptides that have the mutation in it. Now, typically these vaccines are given several times and often when they're tested, they're combined with surgery and with other countermeasures or with other treatments like immune therapy or radiation or chemotherapy. And so the first example that I wanted to give is vaccine against pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer is relatively deadly. If surgery is performed to remove the tumor, typically, the tumor or the cancer recurs, comes back 7 to 9 months after the surgery in about 90% of individuals. And what people often look here at is the 5-year overall survival after surgery, and that if only surgery is performed, is about 8 to 10%, so very low survival rates. If surgery is performed and then there are other treatments, the recurrence of the tumor can be slowed. So typically it takes 14 months for it to come back, but it comes back in about 80% of the patients. That's even when immunotherapy is used, when chemotherapy and so on and so forth are used. In this case, the overall survival is still below 30%. So again, not very high. Pancreatic cancer is really a big problem. And so in this trial, they focused on pancreatic cancer. This was a small phase 1 trial. It wasn't necessarily geared towards showing an effect. It was more geared towards looking at the immune response, but it did see an effect. This is, by the way, typical for a phase 1 trial. You're looking for safety, you're looking maybe for the type of immunity induced, but they're not typically geared with control groups to see an effect, even if there is one. And so this was done with a vaccine called autogene cevumeran, which was developed by BioNTech. And the trial was conducted at Memorial Sloan Kettering, which is really one of the prime hospitals in terms of cancer research. And that's in New York City. And so in the end, they had 16 patients, which initially got surgery to remove the tumor. Then the tumor was sequenced, bioinformatics analysis was done, and for each patient, a vaccine was designed. During that time, the patients also got immunotherapy, they got chemotherapy, and then they got 8 to 9 doses of this vaccine that was designed for each patient separately. And then their immune response to the vaccine to the tumor was monitored. And the team, the research team there found that 8 of the 16 made a T-cell response to the vaccine. So they had a response to the vaccine and the other 8 did not. Now, they already did an analysis after approximately 2 years And in the group that did not make a response, they saw that there was recurrence after approximately 13 months in, I think, 7 out of 8 patients. So that the cancer came back. But for these initial 2 years, the 8 that had a response, that responded to the vaccine, actually had no recurrence. And more recently, a paper came out where they then looked for 4-year outcome. And 6 of 8 who mounted the response still were tumor-free. 2 of them had developed cancer again, and 1 of them unfortunately died. So 7 out of 8 stayed alive, 6 out of 8 stayed tumor-free. On the other side, the group that did not respond, I mean, basically same treatment, but their immune system didn't respond to the vaccine. Here, 5 of 8 were still alive after 4 years, and that's still better than the typical treatment. Now, of course, this is a small trial, and data from much larger trials is needed to look at the actual effect and so on and so forth. But for type of cancer that's as deadly as pancreatic cancer, this is actually pretty impressive data. The second trial I wanted to describe is for an anti-melanoma vaccine. This trial was larger. It was a phase 2B trial. It was done in about 150 patients. And it was performed in Australia and the US. Larger trials are usually done in different clinics, often in different countries. As I said, this was a phase 2B trial, and what was tested here was mRNA-4157. For the ones that know COVID vaccines, if something starts with mRNA, then that means it's made by Moderna. So this was a Moderna vaccine that is tested and being developed together with Merck. So it was basically a very similar approach. They also recruited patients in 2019 to 2021. Then surgery was performed to remove the melanoma. By the way, this was stage 3B, stage 4 melanoma that was looked at. And then these vaccines were formulated. Again, this was done for each individual patient. And the highest number of neoantigens included was 34. So you can see that there is quite some mutations in these tumors. And so in this trial, they had 2 different groups. One group received an immune therapeutic monoclonal antibody, a checkpoint inhibitor. And the other group received that checkpoint inhibitor monoclonal antibody plus the mRNA-4157 anti-cancer vaccine. By the way, this vaccine is named Intismeran autogene. So autogene also because it's the genes from the patient that are sequenced for looking for mutations. And so what they found here is recurrence-free survival was about 50% over 5 years in the individuals who got the immune therapeutic alone. And recurrence-free survival over 5 years was 72% in individuals who had gotten the monoclonal antibody, the immune therapeutic, and the vaccine. So significant improvement here. So recurrence-free survival just basically means in how many people the cancer came back. You can also look at survival rates, and they are better here for melanoma than for pancreatic cancer. And so with the immune therapeutic alone, the survival rate over these 5 years was 86%. And if the immune therapeutic was given together with the vaccine, then the 5-year survival rate was 92%. And so again, this might not be as impressive as what we have seen or what I've explained about the pancreatic cancer, but this is a larger study and this effect is pretty significant. I forgot to mention, also in this case, the vaccine had to be given quite often. They were giving 9 doses of the vaccine. So I think some of these approaches are really what could save a lot of people from cancer in the future. It's not clear how long it will take for these vaccines, for these therapeutic vaccines to get licensed, but I think they're on a good way. the problem currently still is that this is relatively expensive. As you can imagine, you have to have surgery. Then there needs to be the sequencing of the tumor and of healthy tissue, a bioinformatics analysis. And then specifically for that patient, the vaccine is made. You can imagine that that is not cheap. At some point I heard, but I'm not 100% sure if it's actually accurate, that this costs about $100,000 per patient. But this, again, might change. Technology gets better, technology improves and becomes cheaper. And the hope is that at some point, there might even be vaccines against cancer types like glioblastoma. So it's really something that's moving in the right direction and hopefully moves very fast. That was it for today from Virological. I promise next time we're going to talk about viruses again. As always, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, please just write an email to virological@podcastwerkstatt.com. And if you like this podcast, you can support us on Steady. Thanks for listening, and until next time. Bye.
If you're enjoying the podcast and would like to support our work, visit us on Steady. You'll find the link in the show notes. And don't forget to follow and leave a review on your favorite podcast app. Podcast-Werkstatt.